Hey, I'm Ethan.
Hey, I'm Mike.
I watched the first half of Byzantium.
I watched the second half of Byzantium.
And this is
the other half. It's called Maze Month?
Maze Days.
Maze Days.
Maze Days!
Welcome to the final episode of our Maze
Days.
Bye,
Daniel.
Bye,
Daniel. See you later, buddy. We're out. You know what? We watched for a bit. I think I'm good.
I think I know what you're thinking now.
I get it. I think I get it. We should have, at the end of this podcast, a nice little recap of what we think
about Daniel's Maze.
Daniel Maze and what kind of roles he gets cast
in. How history will look back on the career of Daniel Maze.
Yes. History will definitely look back at him, and it will be just like...
oh yeah, I remember that guy from that thing.
Yeah, exactly. Just like when you're watching like an old movie and you're like, that's a guy's face that I recognize. Don't know where he's from.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we can do that at the end of this episode where we can discuss the overall oeuvre of the Daniel Maze filmography based off of four movies that we've seen.
We're experts, basically. I mean, that's what we said about Pinocchio. So.
That is fair. But yeah, this is the end of our Maze Days spectacular, where we watch a bunch of movies that feature the character actor Daniel Maze. And in this movie, he plays just a guy that I think works at a brothel.
Interesting. He's just...
Or is he like a pimp? He's not a pimp.
No, he's kind of like... A landlord?
Yeah, he's just like a guy that like lives there.
Yeah.
Like he kind of owns the property.
It's a very interesting little story about how he comes into working
like,
with them.
Working with them. Because that's pretty much all I get from him. He also seems weird because he is a landlord, but he doesn't really seem that freaked out about like anything. Like he doesn't seem like angry about the fact that like... He's got a very suspicious woman working for him.
Yeah.
He mostly just seems to be, like, clueless. Like, he doesn't feel like he's ever going to use... If he were a landlord, he's not going to use any of his, like, landlord powers.
His landlord powers?
To do anything about what's going
on. Yeah, he didn't feel very super landlord to you. Mm-hmm. He felt like he was a regressive landlord. Just was kind of, like, sitting behind all his landlord powers, not using them.
He's mostly, like...
No full potential landlord here.
Yeah, that's right. He's mostly... Yeah, he hasn't even reached his final form of landlord.
I didn't see one bit of painted over door frames or painted over hinges or anything.
It's a pretty cool, honestly, it's a pretty cool place.
It's a pretty cool place.
Yeah, it's got a cool little elevator.
Yeah, very old school.
Very nice. But yeah, mostly I think it's weird. Yeah, and he's also just sort of like hanging around. Like,
yeah.
He's more of like a roommate.
So...
Yeah.
What did you know about this film?
Nothing.
Me either.
I knew nothing about this movie. I was so surprised where this movie was going.
Yeah, me too.
No, because I also, title gives nothing away.
Nothing.
It's just,
don't even know what that word means.
It's some kind of material.
It's a material?
Yeah, I
oh,
believe. It's,
okay.
Because later on, it's the name of like the hotel or whatever.
It was apparently also a empire.
Oh.
Or a city. It was an ancient Greek city founded around 657 BC. So,
oh, okay. Maybe that's what I was referring to. It's also the name of the brothel that this landlord owns.
Oh, is that why they call it that? Okay.
Yeah, that's sure. Just got a big old like sign on the side, yellow sign. It's on the poster as well.
Yes.
But yeah, the title gives nothing away. I don't remember anything about, I kind of remember the commercials, but like, I can't even remember what they were attempting to like portray. I also had no fucking clue watching my half the movie what like the like what who is the audience for this, because like half of it is like YA novel level, like, you know, like, oh, it's just a boy and a girl and they're from different places and one of them has a secret that can never be like spoken and all that because there's rules. And then the other half of the movie is like hardcore sex, hardcore violence, like blood, like violence towards women.
I
wonder
if they were trying to like adapt kind of like the two types of, spoiler alert, vampire.
Wait, what? There's vampires in this movie?
Vampires involved.
Yeah.
Kind of like, you know, the harder, edgier one with kind of the YA version and trying to like combine them together.
Yeah.
But then again, you're right. It's like, okay, but then the tone's just kind of like muddy,
because like
the
imagine
whole thing is muddy.
I'm imagine it's very muddy. Yeah, it's not even well shot.
The thing is, like, it's not really in my mind, it's not really a bad movie. I think it's mostly a competently put together movie.
Totally agree.
And I think the acting across the board pretty solid.
I like, actually really liked pretty much every actor in this movie.
But just the story and the plot is just so boring.
Yeah, Yeah.
So it really didn't
and like
grab
you
my
know
attention.
Where it's going.
Yeah, kind
of. Pretty much. Like
yeah.
The fact that like in my movie, in my half of the movie, it felt like it was kind of a reveal that it was about vampires. Like I feel like I got everything I needed for my half of the movie. I don't know how much in the first half we really needed. The only thing I didn't know originally was that Frank, which is such a strange name for like a kid, but Frank, the kid with the red hair, who's also in like Get Out. He's yeah. got cancer. He's dying of cancer.
Yes.
That's pretty much all I was unaware of until like my second half of my half of the movie. But other than that, I'm like, oh yeah, no. Okay. So Eleanor is a vampire. Her mom is a vampire, Clara. She runs a brothel IRL, like in modern day, but back in the day she was working at a brothel. Like I was sort of picking up all these little like, you know, story hints. So, like, I was never really confused. I was mostly just watching this movie going like, oh, okay, I think I get, like, what the vibe's going for. You know, Frank and Eleanor seem like star-crossed lovers, like I said. And then a man is, like, severely beheaded and there's just, like, blood everywhere. And I'm like, oh, if I was, like, a 17-year-old going to a movie, you know, for, like, if, you know, like, I had a girlfriend and my girlfriend wants to go see like a YA movie. And then all of a sudden a man is just like horrifyingly beheaded. I don't know if anybody in the theater is happy about their experience.
I feel
you know?
Like it's rated
R.
R though. So you kind of know that like it's going to get crazy.
Yeah.
Maybe, but I feel like they're trying to like, I think this is like a transition period where it's like, hey kid, but, you like Twilight. You want to like some real shit?
Yeah. You want to see some real shit?
You want to see some real
but
shit?
But I feel like the people who like Twilight don't want to see a man getting beheaded.
No, probably not. I feel like they don't want to ever level up, you know?
Yeah. Like, they'd rather stick
here.
With one. Yeah.
I'm happy here in my Twilight Zone.
Yeah. I Twilight Zone. But yeah, I didn't hate it. I'm kind of almost respected how gutsy the movie was. Apparently the movie was shot 2 years before it was released. So that to me also feels like they shot it and then they did like test screenings and nobody liked it. And then the studio's just like, whatever, we're just not going to release it. Like, you know, we'll just release it when there's like an open spot in our like release schedule, you know?
Yeah, where we just need to fill something. And we're like, well, we have it. It's not going to make a lot of money, but you know.
Like Saoirse Ronan's great in this movie. The actor who plays Clara is really good in the movie. You're right. All the acting is fantastic. Maze does a serviceable job.
Everything about the movie is like well put together. It's just so boring. You're just kind of going along with it, yeah. And I don't find the characters particularly compelling.
The sucky thing is, I like the actor who plays Frank. I don't know if I like the character all that much.
Yeah,
I kind of feel like
he's kind of a weird guy.
He's kind of like a weirdo. But I mean, I guess I'd be weird too if I was dying of cancer and I was like 19 years old or whatever.
Yeah, I guess it'd be kind of weird.
Yeah,
kind of a weird guy. And you still go to work.
Yeah,
like, why are you going to work, bro?
He's going to work.
He's a waiter.
Oh, I didn't know he was a waiter.
That's how they
met. I just knew he was going to college or whatever.
Yes, the college.
Yeah.
You know, where he enrolls and she enrolls, too.
And she enrolls, and that's when it really becomes like Twilight. You know?
Yeah, kind of does.
She enrolls, but she's apparently also like supposed to be forever 16 years old at this like uni.
Sure.
I don't know what the age range is, I guess, for...
university, I feel like, is earlier over there. I don't know.
Europe. British people, reach out to us and let us know what you think.
Let us know.
Do you meet any vampires over there?
It sounds like they're all over the place. I mean, they're all over Europe. So.
It is funny, too, because my half of the movie opens with Eleanor writing, like, her backstory.
Oh.
And I, again, going to this movie was just like, so it was very helpful, but for the longest time, I'm like, well, she's lying. Like, this isn't real. Like, obviously, like, the vampires and, like, her mom was, like, a sex worker back in the day and all this. I'm like, this is stupid. Like, there's no way this is real. Like, I even wrote down, that probably isn't her mom. I don't know. This is probably just a story. Like, I wrote that in my notes. And then, like, way later, I'm like, oh, wait, they are vampires. And Eleanor is, like, 100 years old or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, once shit actually starts, like, revealing
itself. What's
kind of
interesting is it's funny that she mentions this stuff, and it does sound like someone, a dramatic teenager.
Totally.
But, like, she's been a dramatic teenager for, like, over 100 years.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's actually all true.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, you've just been kind of in this mode and never really, like, moved on. Which is, like, I don't know, it's an interesting character thought. But
I also really like the actor who plays Claire. I always forget her. Is it, like, Gemma Anderton or something like that? I mostly know her from, she's in Prince of Persia.
Oh, yeah, she is a Prince of Persia.
And Hansel and Gretel.
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Witch Hunters, yeah. That's pretty much the only things I know her from. And I watch her in this movie, I'm like, honestly, she does a really good job.
She's a good actor.
She's great. She's awesome. But yeah, do you want to talk a bit about how the movie opens?
So the movie starts off with Eleanor being a YA protagonist saying, my story can never be told. Mm. I wrote it over and over. I write the truth. And then she like folds up the paper and like throws it outside. And the old guy who's like just walking around, like grabs it and picks it up. And is like, oh, and starts reading it. And she comes down and he's like, oh, you write these? I often find these here.
He's always reading his things.
He's always reading these things out the ground. Yeah. I mean, imagine if you're walking down the street and you got like some real cool lore drops.
I sometimes will like find little pieces of paper on the ground and I will 100% pick
them
up.
Oh, I always do,
them.
But they're never interesting.
It's usually just like eggs and milk and
or someone just write or some kid scribbles or something.
Yeah,
like
a dick.
Yes, sometimes it's a dick. But she then writes, my story starts with Clara. And then you cut to her, and she's this lady giving a lap dance to some guy. But Eleanor refers
Get
to her
it, girl.
As my savior, my burden, my muse. And I'm just like, okay, this is a weird way to describe someone.
Yeah.
And then eventually, like, I guess the guy grabs her, and she didn't like it. So she bites the guy's nose off.
Whoa, holy fuck.
She gets kicked out with no pay. And so she steals money. But then some guy shows up with like a suit and recognizes her. And then she's like, I found you. Tell me where she is.
Mm-hmm.
And then she runs away. And there's a fun little chase sequence where they're running around and eventually ends up on a roof where she falls through some glass and onto like a bouncy castle thing. I don't know what it's called. It's not a bounce house. It's like an open roof bounce house.
Okay.
Is that a thing that exists?
That's a bounce house.
But I feel like a house needs a roof. You know?
A
house needs a roof.
A castle
not a real
does
house.
Not.
A
bouncy castle. So this is modern day.
It's modern day.
Okay.
So she falls through. Yeah, they had a strip clubs back in the day, Mike.
They totally did.
Yeah, they're probably right.
Yeah.
I don't feel like the club music might have been a. I guess they didn't mention.
You didn't mention the club music. You just said you were just giving a lap dance.
They're giving guys going to lap dance to some guy with a lyre in the back.
Yeah,
bagpipes blasting back there. She's giving crazy lap dance.
Yeah.
No, I would have absolutely told you about that. That
would have
been very
notable.
But like, this guy, he's insane. This movie's great. No, they don't do that, unfortunately.
No.
But he grabs her and goes like, "Where is she?" And then, Eleanor goes with the old man to get some tea with him. Mm-hmm. He's like, "We should have some tea," and he's like,
"Oh, like drama?"
No, well, kind of, because he's like, "Hey, check out this girl I love." It's like, "This is who I love," and she's like, "Oh, your wife?" And he's like, "No, my brother's wife.
Ooh.
My brother never knew, and neither did she." Ooh. And he's just like this old man. And then like they're both dead now, and then she's like, "Oh my god!" And then he says, "You know, some secrets are meant to be told." And he looks at her because he's been reading all her notes.
Yeah.
And he's like, he's like, "What is your name?" He's like, "Oh, my name is Eleanor Webb." And he's like, "Huh? People told me about revenants, folks who are neither dead nor alive, and I'm ready." She's like, "Are you sure?" He says, "I've spent quite enough time here." And I'm like, okay, what's going on?
You don't know what it's going to happen.
I don't know what's going on. And then she gets her weird, creepy fingernail.
Yeah.
It's like super long and like pierces his like wrist.
Yeah.
And then just like drains that motherfucker dry. And I'm like,
they try
vampires.
Yeah. It's kind of funny how they're like, we're vampires. We have certain rules. But also, we can go on the sun, and we don't have those dumb fangs.
Yeah.
We have long fingernails.
Yeah, we obviously pierce everyone with nails and just
duh.
Drink that shit up. Yeah, very, very loose with the vampire lore.
Yeah.
Here. So then, let's see. We cut back to that weird guy who captured Clara, and she brings her back to her place.
Darvell.
I wrote Werner? Darvell Werner?
Werner.
I don't think you see this guy.
Oh, okay.
I don't think you see this guy. He's like, "I feel like I'm at peace.
Does he have like big buggy blue eyes?
No, he's kind of like balding.
Oh, okay. Balding or bald?
Like balding.
Oh, okay. I don't know this guy.
So he's like, order's about to be restored.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, "All the time you've had and you've learned nothing." He's like, "Yes, but I'm in control." And then she says, "Close your eyes." And he goes, "Okay." And I'm like, "Oh, this is gonna be like a sex thing." And then she grabs a piano wire and garrotes the guy's head off.
Whoa!
How
graphic is it?
It's pretty graphic,
right?
It's pretty gross.
A lot of blood.
Pretty gross.
Yeah.
And I was like, "Oh, okay." And then we find Eleanor comes back and she lives with Clara.
Yes.
At this point, I had no idea. I thought it was maybe she's just like obsessed over this person.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, no, they live together.
Yes.
And now there's blood everywhere. And she's like, "How could you bring him home? Why did you do this?" She's like, "He was stronger than I thought," she says.
Mm-hmm.
"We have to leave. I'm doing this all for you." And she's like, "You did this for me?"
Yeah.
And so then it's like, we got to move out. So they they just cover the place in gasoline and light it on fire and run away.
Nice. Easy. They can get away with that.
Easy. I'm clearly no one will suspect a thing. Yeah. So then they hitchhike and Clara sings a song. They arrive at this little coastal village. Mm-hmm. And I thought at first it was a religious coastal village, but what we're seeing instead is Eleanor is seeing flashbacks of herself.
Uh-huh.
And boy, do we love seeing flashbacks of Eleanor talking to herself, seeing herself, because that's what most of this movie becomes.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is where her whole life kind of took place.
Right.
As kind of like...
Oh, they're returning.
Yes, but Clara doesn't want to admit that.
Right, right.
Clara's like, no, I don't want to think about that. You're wrong,
Seemed like
Eleanor.
A pretty rough time for poor Clara back
yeah,
in the day.
And,
yeah,
well, it's not like a rough time for Eleanor, too.
Oh, I didn't know anything about Eleanor.
Well, Eleanor's like, this is our place. You don't remember? She's like, I better not think about this.
Mm.
But we see Clara's in, like, I want to say, like, religious garb.
Okay.
As she's walking around.
Like, modern day? Back
in the
day.
Like, way back in the
day. Got it.
But then... Eleanor's like, you can't throw away the past as if it didn't happen. And Clara's like, watch me. I'm going to go find money. And she goes to like the boardwalk, like carnival that's there. It's all very, this town is like very rundown and old.
Yeah.
It seemed like it used to be a bustling tourist area. And now people have just, it's kind of dried up and there's just kind of like the locals left.
Right.
So
no one would ever suspect vampires.
Exactly. Yeah. No one would suspect vampires there. Mm. Just a lot of sex workers and... That's kind of it. It seems like the only people who live there.
Sex
and
workers.
And the college.
I love the idea. I was originally going to say, like, I love how sex workers live here and no one else. Where's their money coming from?
The college.
But the
kids.
College.
That's
yeah,
it.
Exactly.
They're a college there. It's like two different vibes.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That is the most depressing vibe.
Yeah.
Imagine, like, going to college. Like, your parents, like, checking up the local area with you.
Some guys get sucked off under the bridge.
Yeah, and it's like, I don't know why you're coming here.
And the kid's like, I want to come here.
I'm going to come right there. Anyway.
But Eleanor says, Clara, you know, she's narrating this whole movie.
Yes, Eleanor is narrating
the
whole
movie.
Film.
She loves doing it. And she says, Clara's never alone. She finds money and company wherever she goes. And she starts kind of going to where the sex workers are and blending in.
Right.
But me, I'm Eleanor. I like being alone. I like being moody. She's the moody vampire.
Moody vampire.
She goes into a restaurant that's just there. And finds a piano and just busts out like a crazy song. It's very spooky and ethereal and like really cool.
Apparently, Saoirse Ronan actually played the piano for this movie.
That's so funny because I was looking at it, I'm like, she's not playing this shit.
Apparently, well, maybe not that scene, but there is one scene where she's playing and you see her hands like touching the keys.
Okay, because so, this part looked pretty, this seemed pretty complicated.
Pretty complicated.
Because you have to be someone who's played piano for 200 years. And it's kind of hard to like.
You were around when this song was released.
Yes, exactly. One of my favorites. I was there when it was played.
This is a classic.
And I fed off that guy. You know what I mean? Fed off his
sucked
energy.
Him off.
Yeah. I gave him the finger.
I tickled his ivories.
Our little man, what's his name again?
Frank
is kind of like watching. I was like, ooh, this is interesting. This little red-haired creepy guy.
Yeah.
And
he walks around like a goblin.
He looks
or like a gargoyle. Like he's always like got a weird thing. His like posture's strange.
He's very
like,
gaunt. He has long hair. He's just kind of like, I don't know, he's very disconcerting.
Very.
So then we see Daniel Mays.
My man.
He pops in. He's like, Clara, what's up? Can I get some of your services? And she's like, 50 for a blow, 100 for a whack. I'm like, what is it? Like a hand job?
Yes.
But why is that more expensive than a blow job?
That's a very good question.
Yeah, I feel like that's more like less work.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, a hand job should be cheaper because a blow job is like more invasive.
Maybe because she doesn't want her hands to be seen, and she's got one of those weird fingernails. That's like, you know,
that's why. She's like, she is the best prices in town.
Yeah, for reasons.
She doesn't want
never,
to see.
Never gets the whack.
Yeah,
I never get the whack. Anyway,
that's a very good point.
Yeah. So then she's like, "Come with me." He's like, "Okay." But then
he was like, "I wasn't planning on it, but okay."
But then Frank is over here, and he's like, "You, Eleanor, you did a great job on that piano. Are you trying to busk here? I can busk for you." Also, can you talk? Because I've been talking this whole time. She's like, I could talk. He's like, how do you remember all those notes? She's like, oh, I remember everything. It's my burden. Like, oh my God. All right, girl.
Not even Saoirse Ronan can let some of these like lines sing, you know?
That's true.
Yeah.
So then Daniel Mays is in this little, like, I don't know where Clara found this place, but it's just like, just like a weird carnival box that's just there. Maybe it's like the the back room of the carnival or something.
Back rooms of the carnival.
The back rooms of the carnival. Mm-hmm. That'd be a cool movie. he's like, oh, here's $50. She's like, all right. So she starts pulling off his pants. And he just starts,
time for a blowy.
And then he starts crying. Whoa. Daniel Mays starts crying.
Do you believe him?
I do believe him. Yeah. And he's like, I fucking so fucked up. She's like, what's wrong? He's like,
I'm so fucked up. You got a tattoo with you. I don't deserve it.
Dinosaurs blew this. And then he says, my mom just died and I ran away from her funeral.
Holy shit.
And she's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. She's turning like, okay, this guy just needs company. So he's like, I bet your mom would be so proud of you for having such a lovely son. And she's like, no, I didn't make her proud. I found 50 quid in one of her books, and this is how I spent it.
Whoa.
I was like, whoa.
Holy shit.
Daniel Mays, more like Daniel Mayday. Yeah, this guy's going through something.
Oh my God, this guy.
Yeah.
How old do you think he's supposed to be, Daniel Mays?
I feel
movie?
Like he's like either like late 30s, early 40s or something.
Holy
yeah.
Oh my God.
Is that what you think?
I
don't know.
I thought he was like in his like mid 20s to early 30s.
Maybe you're right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'll look up how old he was. He seems permanently.
He seems like to me one of those guys that is like.
He's always old.
He's always in like mid 30s, early 40s. Yeah. Even in like Thursday Murder Club, he feels like that. Maybe edging a little harder.
Edging indeed. Let me look up how old he was.
He's about to be edged by Clara. Oh, sorry, it's $100.
$100. Yeah. $100 for edging.
That's $150.
$150 for edging.
She uses the nail. I don't know. Actually, Clara has that nail.
Well, okay, it grows.
Oh, it grows. It's when they're hungy.
Yeah,
it's when you're hungy. When you're hungy, you're nailing.
Me hungy rubbing me belly.
I'm such a hungry little vampire.
Oh, my nail's growing.
I mean, Daniel Mays' nail was growing right there for a little bit. That's then he got very sad. True. Then he got sad.
He got very sad.
Okay. So they keep talking. He's like, she left me this house and I fucked it up. And like the guest house, I didn't run it properly. And she's like, oh, is it big? He's like, it's pretty big. And she's like, maybe we should go to your place instead of my little dinky place. And he's like, yeah, all right, that's fine. Let's do that. I mean, he's just in a distraught place, so he could be easily manipulated.
Yeah.
But then Frank keeps following Eleanor. Eleanor's just like being moody by the boardwalk. He's like, hey, what's up? How are you so good at piano? She's like, I practiced for 200 years. He's like,
just straight up telling
her. He's
you.
Like, all right, that's weird, man. But, here's like the money. I got some money for you that like I passed around. You want to take some of this money? Because they're looking for money anyway. She's
right.
Like, yeah. And
just for playing the piano.
And she's like, he's like, also, here's my phone number.
Whoa.
And she's like, I don't have a phone. He's like, oh. All
right. Also, Frank is American.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, and they're living in this weird little British town.
Yeah, I didn't even notice that.
I looked up how old how old Daniel Mays was in this movie. Yeah. I'm going to give you one more guess. How old do you think he was when he filmed this
movie? Okay, when he actually filmed this movie, I bet he was 34 years old.
Pretty close, actually. 32.
32?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, I know.
Damn.
And then you said he was supposed to be in his late 30s, early 40s.
He looks kind of rough, dude, dog.
He's looking a little rough.
To be fair, he is made to look pretty rough in this. Okay. He's definitely like out of sorts.
Out of sorts.
Yeah. Feels a little out of sorts. Anyway, so Clara meets up with Eleanor and walking the boardwalk, mm-hmm. and she's like, "Look, this guy—he's our knight in shining armor. He's come to deliver us from evil."
Oh.
And then he says, "I'm trusting you, Camilla," which is not her name, and which is a very funny thing to say. So he then brings her into the apartment. He's like, "I'm sorry, I trashed the place." I'm like, "Why did he trash this place?"
Yeah,
it just seems like. He just got bored and just smashed things is what it sounds like he said.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, you got some problems, but all right.
That's our love interest.
Yeah. He's like, it was a hotel once. It was like a bread and breakfast sort of thing.
Oh, him. Okay.
But then, you know, but kind of as the town went downhill, it'd be kind of like a welfare place. And then now no one lives here. But there's a great view of the pier from up here. As you were alluding to earlier, the place is very picturesque.
Oh.
And they get up there and it's like, oh, this is amazing. Clara starts smooching on Daniel Mays. But he's like, but then she says, oh, wait, but first you have to show Ella up to her room. Not Eleanor, Ella.
Ella.
Big difference.
And like, Clara is Claire.
Oh, it's Camilla, I thought.
Oh, okay.
But then
okay.
She changes it a few times.
Who cares? Yeah.
And he says, yeah, I went around the house smashing things up. Oh, he smashed up all the mirrors because he didn't want to look at himself. Which seems very convenient for vampires.
Yeah, that's a good point. I actually don't know if we see their reflections or not.
No, probably not. Plus, they never want to reflect on themselves. Except Eleanor. She's always doing that shit.
Definitely not Clara.
Clara's not. She's the living one.
How does she do her makeup if she can't look in the mirror, though?
You know? 200 years of practice.
That's what it is, yeah.
So then Camille's... Yeah, your face never changes, right? So you just kind of get used to it.
I guess that's true. That's a good point. It's not like you have to worry about age. Yeah.
So then Camille's like, I heard you lost your mom. I'm really sorry about that. He's like, yeah, I just don't care. But here's the thing. I'm going to be really nice to you guys. You can trust me. I'm not going to do anything weird. And she's like, okay. And honestly, it feels like he's being honest. He's just like...
He seems like a good guy.
In my mind, he fucked up so bad with his mom. He's like, this is my redemption arc. Like, I want to take care of these two ladies.
Yes.
Be nice to them. And maybe one and will not make me spend $50, get my dick sucked.
Maybe I'll do it for free.
So then we get a flashback of where she goes into like a cave. And her mom is watching. Clara's her mom, by the way. Did we mention that?
I think I might have, but
Been quite revealed yet.
Yeah,
but they have a very mother-daughter relationship, but they kept referring to each other as sisters,
right? Because of their age difference.
Because their age difference is not that big.
Yeah.
So then Ella goes into the cave, bat cave.
Yeah.
And all these bats fly around. Big Batman Begins vibe.
Very big.
And then she sees herself in there, and she talks to her clone, and she's like, this is the end of time. And then Cave Eleanor eats herself, and then she wakes up. And
like, as a vampire.
Crazy dream. Sounds like this happens later in your
house. It does. We see it later as well, yeah.
Yeah, so good you use it twice.
It's honestly kind of spooky. Like they did
it is spooky.
I do like the setting, the whole concept of, like, you meet yourself. Like, the thing that turns you into a vampire is yourself. Like, this weird old being.
See, I didn't know if that was, like, actually literal. Like, that was, like, yourself turning you...
No, I think the being that inhabits that cave turns into you and then bites you. Yeah,
so
which is
like
pretty
spooky. So you're, like, the vampire, like, hub.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought... I guess you're right. I guess it wasn't, like... Yeah, okay. Because so, I'm trying to get my timeline set up, but I have it in my notes. So I'm trying to get things straight. Okay. Meanwhile, we see investigators of the burned apartment looking at the decapitated skull...
Yeah.
And then Eleanor's asking about the guy who got decapitated. He's like, who was he? Danny Mays is naked in the back bed, sleeping, by the way.
Naked?
Naked. You don't see his maze. So then she's like, he was a fucking monster. Don't worry about it. Then Clara's like, I could start up one of my old businesses here. We can rake it in. And she's like, oh, this again, huh? Okay. Yeah. Then Maze wakes up. He's like, oh, I dreamed about you guys leaving, and I'm so sorry.
What do you think about his body, that Daniel Mays? We're focusing on him as an actor. We got to focus on every part of him.
You know, it fits the vibe.
It does, right?
It's the vibe.
He really works out his, like, pecs. He's got good pecs. Yep. And then everything else.
Not everything, nothing else.
And then, like, the rest
really,
of his...
He's only his arm day.
He's really got, like, a Winnie the Pooh vibe to his body.
Yeah. He kind of does. You know, like, he's doing all those dumbbell flies and nothing else.
He's got a real rumbly in his tumbly.
He's got a, like, real rumbly in his tumbly.
Because he also is, like, shirtless in my half of the movie, too. And I'm just, like, I'm really taking in his whole, like, his whole body. Because I'm, like, we've only gotten peaks of him.
We've only seen peaks costumes. Of his greatness.
Yes. Now I'm seeing, we're seeing peak Maze right now.
Uncensored.
Uncensored Maze. Uncut Maze.
God. And then Clara says after he mentions he was worried about them leaving, why would I leave? I got everything we need here. You provide it all.
Yeah.
Then we go Eleanor flashback. And we talk. She's got, like, a little old. She's in a place with. You can tell it's a flashback because she has these curls in front of her hair.
Oh.
Or her hair's curled. That's stupid.
She has curls in front of her hair.
Makes no sense. Her hair is curly in the front.
Yeah, got it. Okay.
That's how you can tell she's
That's
in a flashback.
That's how you know. Got it.
Vampires can't have curly hair. It's a fact.
Right.
So then there's a weird British man with a cane who has, like, I don't know, some sort of, like, leprosy or something on his face.
Gross.
And he's like, I know your mother. Yeah. Your mother stole something from me, and now I steal something from her, implying that she gets sexually assaulted.
Right.
Because he's like, my disease has...
Oh, that guy!
Yeah, he says, my disease has no cure. When I'm finished with you, you'll be a child no longer. I'm like, this is cool.
This guy is a famous actor. He played Sherlock in that Elementary show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he's also in Hackers. He's the main guy in that.
Oh, shit. Okay.
He's the main guy. He's the guy that's trying to hack the Gibson. Oh, that's him. He's just wearing a really long wig and he's got like the leprosy on him.
The leprosy thing. That's why I couldn't recognize
him. That's what it was. Yeah.
Not that I wasn't thinking about hackers all the time.
I'm always thinking about hackers.
Always thinking about hacking Gibson.
All I'm thinking about is that one cool skate park arcade that they hang out in.
Check out our podcast. We want to hear more.
Check it out.
Maze sees Eleanor crying and is like, "Are you okay?" She's like,
No.
It's like, because he says, "Camilla told me about how you were in like a care home, and I want to let you know like nothing bad's gonna happen here." And then she says, "But you know her name isn't Camilla, right?" And she's like, "He's like, what were you talking about?" And then at this point, Clara walks in and is like, "What the fuck?" and pulls her away and is like, "If you tell him anything real, I'm gonna kill him." And she's like, and Eleanor's like, "Don't you want someone to know the truth?" He's like, "No, that's how we stay safe. If we ever tell the truth, that's how we get taken." Which makes me think that the guy who's hunting Clara, or whatever thing is like hunting her, maybe she got a little too close to him and then decided to kill him. Oh, Mike's making a face.
I don't know.
Mike's making a face.
Here's the thing also I gotta say. The actor who plays Clara is so good at looking terrified that Eleanor is gonna fucking blow her shit up.
She does.
She is so good at going like, "I have lived and escaped and gone through so much awful shit to get here. And if you're the one that blows this up, I'm going to be so fucking upset."
I'm so annoyed at my
like,
daughter.
She just like lays it all out. Like she says like, "No, like you, the minute you tell him, I'm going to fucking kill him. Like, you know, it is your fault if he dies." Cause right now he's blissfully unaware. I don't know. I really dig this vibe of a woman who's just like gone. Cause like, I mean, you know, later on it's revealed that like Clara was like a sex worker. I guess it's kind of already been revealed that she has like a history in that.
Yeah.
We learn about all the really awful shit she's had to go through in order to survive. And it's just like, God damn it, fucking Eleanor, just keep your goddamn mouth shut can live forever.
She's got to tell so many things, though. She hates keeping secrets.
She hates keeping secrets. And you know why?
Because she's too religious.
She grew up in an orphanage where they told her to tell the truth all the time.
She was brought up in a way that was too pure to be a vampire. Mm-hmm. Which is interesting. Like, there's interesting stuff here.
Yeah, there is.
There's some interesting stuff in this movie.
There is.
It's just so boring. Anyway, it's just presented so glum.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Anyway, long time ago, there
that wasn't was a, years ago.
Eleanor says there wasn't a pier or a promenade or anything. It was just the beach. And a lady named Clara who lived on human blood for 200 years. She must not forget the story. And we see little Clara there, and there's two officers about ready to go off to war.
Yeah.
And one guy is there, and he's cool, and he's like, they seem to have
Darvel.
Like a thing. And he's like, "Yeah." But then another older officer, his superior, comes up and is like, "Come with me, little lady." And the guy's like, the younger officer's like, "You shouldn't go with that guy. He's a fucked up guy."
Do you recognize him?
No.
That's the guy who sexually assaults
the older
Eleanor.
One or the younger one?
The older one.
The older one? So he continually does this.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it. Yeah. Oh. Oh.
Ethan's really putting all of this together.
Oh, no.
The one with the long hair?
Oh, so I'm wondering if the thing he thinks she took is he got an STD from her or something? But this was like the first time this happened. He must have went back.
You'll see. Ah. It's all explained. But all right. Yes, that's the same guy.
Gross. So anyway,
it is gross, but that's kind of the thing I dig about the movie, where you're like, fucking Eleanor, like, look at what I've done to protect you. Like, this is what the real world is like. These are the people that will come for you if they learn about the truth, Clara thinks.
Yes.
I don't know. I really like Clara in this. Justice for Clara.
The guy goes and gives her, like, "Here's your gift. And then also, I'm going to take you to this brothel and make you a brothel person." And, also, he gives her a pearl, and Eleanor's like, it's very symbolic that he gave her the pearl, because the pearl is pure forever while the flesh of the oyster rots around it.
Ooh.
Like, ooh, scary.
What does that mean?
I don't know. It's very symbolic, dude. So then he brings her to the brothel, does the stuff, and then then Clara's like,
yada, yada, yada.
Clara's like, "Sir, you gave me nothing, sir, and you just took." And he's like, "No, I gave you your profession, whore." I'm like, oh my god,
holy
dude!
Shit!
This is fucked up, man.
What a bad guy!
I sure hate this guy. Yeah. And then, the like lady who runs the brothel comes up, is like, "Why are you crying?" And then she's like, "Dude."
And then read the room.
And then Eleanor was born.
Yeah.
Which has more nasty implications for that guy later.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. I didn't even think about
that's
that.
That's the part where I was like, oh, God.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So ugh. Then the day...
Bad guy.
Eleanor narrates, the day you are born is the day you're more likely to die. Most moms try to kill their own daughters or own kids sometimes. Like, they're the ones who are probably most likely going to do it, I guess.
Mm.
I don't know if that's like a weird comment on abortion or what. But so then she's like, my mom tried to murder me, but love confounded her.
Wow. Beautiful.
So instead she gave her up for adoption, and then she wrote like a little thing that's like, I will pay for all of her needs, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So she went to like a private orphanage in this town, made sure she led a clean life,
right?
A holy life.
Raise her up good.
Mm-hmm. Then we cut to they're walking outside of the college because Eleanor's like, man, I could really, all this stuff I'm writing could really be useful in college. People would care about it.
Yeah, yeah.
And while she's doing that, she bumps into Frank on a bike and he falls over.
Dies instantly,
basically. He gets a cut on his arm and that motherfucker starts bleeding like crazy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, damn, this guy's bleeding like crazy. Why is he bleeding so much? He just fell like a little bit.
Yeah.
And he's just like, oh,
and blood. Eleanor's like licking her lips. Like,
yeah, exactly. And she's like, come on, bring you back to my family. And she's like, okay, I'll help you. And she brings back to his family, grabs a hanky and tries to like stop the wound. And she goes and is like, hey, can you get him to the hospital? And he's like, yeah. So like her parents go or his parents go and take him to the hospital.
Right.
And then she sees the bloody rag on the ground and she just picks it up, just
starts
on it,
sucking like, on it.
And the investigators now find the guy, the old man, is just still dead in his chair.
Yeah.
After he got sucked on with the weird nail. The weird nail sucked on him.
Oh, after Eleanor sucked on him.
Yeah, after Eleanor sucked on him. So then Clara's hanging out at the pier and asks the skinny guy if he want to kiss, and they start making out, but then she fucking kills him. The skinny guy was the pimp of the people, the current sex workers there.
Got it. Okay.
So
he's just like an old guy, kind of.
He's just an old, gross dude.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's even that old. He's just a gross dude.
Older.
Now I don't know anything about
him. Yeah, it could be like 30s, 40s. Who knows?
He might be in his 20s. He gets killed on the beach.
Was he funny? Pimps are funny. That's what I've learned from most comedy.
There's nothing fucking funny about this movie. This movie is humorless. No one cracked a single smile. This is the most British glum shit I've seen in a while.
What if it's like all glum and like serious, and then it's just like a pimp from like Chappelle Show? Or from like How High.
Damn,
or whatever.
Fired.
Yeah.
Oh shit. Oh, McCain.
That's the thing that aged the worst. Yeah. Is the weird pimp character.
Yep. Hilarious.
It's like everyone's like dressed like super like normally, and then this guy's just got like a big purple hat,
yep,
like a feather in it, and a cane.
He came from the Deuce, like shooting off the Deuce, and we're like, this is historically accurate, right? Sure, we'll go with that.
Anyway.
But no, so anyway, that guy's dead, and she's like, the world is prettier, is more beautiful without you. Mm. I'm like, that's kind of nice, I guess. And then Eleanor visits Mark in the hospital. Why did I write Mark? Frank. I wrote Mark for some reason once.
His name's Mark. His name's Mark now.
Frank in the hospital. Mm-hmm. And Frank's mom appears. It's like, oh, thank you for bringing him home. Like, I didn't know it was you. Because she's just kind of like awkwardly standing over him because it's weird. And he's like, you probably are wondering like why he bled so
I'm
much.
I'm sure you're all wondering why he bled so much,
but he takes anticoagulants because he's been fighting leukemia for years. Whoa. It's in remission, but you know.
It's in remission.
It might come back. It might come back.
Yeah. I've seen Breaking Bad. I know it can come back,
or it might not come back, and you regret everything. But then she says, "Please don't tell him I was here." And she's like, "All right." And she just kind of like walks away. And her fucking nail is so long.
She was gonna fucking eat him.
She was thinking about it. She was tempted, or at least her body wanted to, even if she didn't want to.
Yeah.
And so she walks down the hallway, and there's a little old lady, and she knocks on the door, and the lady says, "Are you an angel?" And then she says, "Peace be with you." And she fucking narcs on that little, like, knobs on that little lady. And I'm like, this lady is probably so high on painkillers, you probably get a little high too.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
She's like, she's on death's door anyway.
Yeah.
It's
like that one, what we do in the shadows thing, where it's like, I drink blood of someone who is high.
Yes.
Now I'm high.
Exactly. Yeah. They get really drunk because they just drink drunk people. Eleanor comes home. Clara's there. Oh, no, Clara's not there. She sees actually two sex workers that are there. And she's like, who are you? And they're like, oh, look, it's a pretty long lady. And they're kind of drunk. Yeah. And then Clara comes out and is like, don't you talk to my sister that way. She's my baby sister. And they're like, okay. And you guys get up there and get to work. I got clients over there. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, you're doing this now. It's like, yes.
It's an honest living.
Yeah.
Oldest job in the world.
I'm going to start running this. She's like, all right. Like, these ladies need protection. It's an upgrade for them. And
I'm the pip now.
Yes. Eleanor, she's like, you don't like it, do you? And she's like, no, it's fine. I'm like, you're saying it with your face, though. Like, clearly.
You don't like it.
Clearly you don't like it. She's like, I mean, look, what I'm more mad about is that you don't give a shit about my life. What have I been doing this whole time? You don't care.
You don't know.
She's like, I've been trying to give you space. Give you space and like also like get us money because we need a place to survive. And look, I all's done for you. We got a place to sleep now. It's great.
We have Daniel Mays over here
doing everything. And then Clara is at university. She's doing an exercise with a writer professor, I assume. Where
the guy from the second and third Pirates of the Caribbean movie and the second season of White Lotus.
All right, if you say Mr. Minton.
Yes.
He looked familiar. Out of those, I've only seen the second Pirates movie.
That would be
and
it.
And that was back in theaters, so I do not remember him.
That's him.
So she's lying on the floor, and he's like, close your eyes. I want you to experience your starting point. She's like, this is my starting point of all creativity. And she remembers her sleeping in the bed of the orphanage, and like Clara like peeking in on her and like walking away. And she tells the story, everyone in a class, how like my mother would come in the skylight at night. But she told me at infancy that she was dead. And then meanwhile, Frank is over here. Like, they're all like, that's a really interesting story. And then Frank's over here like, so when I was younger, I had an imaginary friend. And he was called David Atkinson. And he would appear and I would play with him. We'd play tag. We'd have all the stuff in my house. And we'd have a great time. And then I kind of grew out of him. I didn't really like learn about him till like I didn't think about him much.
Okay.
And then I learned later that there was a family who lived before us before we moved to that place.
A ghost.
And their last name was Atkinson. And even weirder, they had a baby who died in childbirth whose name was David.
It's pretty spooky.
I'm like, that's pretty spooky.
That's a pretty good story.
And the teacher's like, that's cool. And I'm like, that's a good one.
That's great.
That's better than Eleanor. Fuck up, Eleanor.
Eleanor's like, I was in bed and I saw my mom. I'm like, okay, what the fuck? Cool.
And then the teacher's like, give me an essay and here's your prompt. And he just writes, I am.
Fucking lame.
I know.
Where'd you get that from? Early YouTube?
And he's like, you can write anything you want. The only thing is it has to be true.
No.
I'm like, this is setting Eleanor up.
Yeah, it is. Yes, it is.
So Frank reveals to Eleanor that like, hey, this isn't my hometown. They're kind of like talking at the beach. And it's my mom's hometown. We came here because the healthcare is free. And I was like, the healthcare is free? Don't you live in the UK? Oh, yeah. I guess maybe it was in America that the healthcare wasn't free and they moved to they moved here.
Yes.
Yeah, that probably explains the American accent.
That explains it.
That I did not pick up on. I was like, this guy just speaks weird in this world. So, you know.
He does have kind of a strange like voice.
He's a strange affectation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not just
but
American.
He's American.
It's American, but weird.
But weird, yeah.
And then she says, Mom said you came to see me in the hospital. And he's like, yeah, she thinks we're together.
Yeah.
And he's like,
maybe we should be.
And he's like, yeah, that'd be cool, wouldn't it? And she's like, it would be fatal.
Fatal?
And he's like, that's a pretty dramatic. And then I think it's your half?
Yeah. She says, what if you had a secret that if you told anybody, it would be like dangerous?
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, I would tell that secret.
Oh.
And then she immediately just runs away from him.
Did he try to kiss her, though?
Yeah, but, like, it's just funny just imagine. Like, this is so, like, high school. Like, I know she's supposed to be, like, 200 years old or whatever, but it feels like she's mentally stuck in, like, 16-year-old.
What's interesting, though, is that, like, because of the way her mom treats her, like, isn't that kind of,
I guess that's
like,
probably
like,
true.
She protects her so much for all of this bullshit that, like, maybe she does kind of has that mentality. Like,
that's
she's
fair.
Never found, like, she's never been had like a normal dating life, right?
That's very true.
You know?
Yeah,
so,
that's true.
Potentially.
Over the course of these 200 years, she's never met someone like Frank.
Yeah.
So she runs off and she starts thinking about her mom and she starts writing. And she says, my mom did three things. She spared my life when she was born. She paid for her upkeep on her hands and knees, meaning mm-hmm. she had sex with men. Mm-hmm. And three, she gave me a story that I can never tell. And I was just like, okay, I get the second one. I don't necessarily understand the third one. And then she says, spared my life when she was born. I was like, what does that mean? But it sounds like she was going to originally kill yeah. Eleanor, and then she lived. And then we cut to Clara. She says she died when she was six. What? Why did I write that down? Died when she was
know.
Six. I don't know. Died she's her she mom. Six. Or wait, probably isn't her mom. Probably just a story. I don't know. On the beach, coughing up blood. Mom turns to old-timey brothel and is delivered to the captain, who's returned from work. The captain is the creep.
The creepy guy. Yeah.
Creepy captain. Okay? So captain creep, creepy captain.
Creepy captain.
Perfect. Clara is the captain's favorite. Uh-huh. And the captain says, you like this one. She fights. And then we hard cut to Darvell, who is the guy, the other guy mm-hmm. that she could have gone off with on that beach.
Okay.
Okay. He arrives and walks in on Clara lying on a pool table after, I'm assuming, some pretty horrendous treatment, and she's just like coughing. So I'm assuming like Clara was brought in that room, was like just like gang fucked by like all these guys, and was just left lying on a pool table, which is just like such a horrifying image.
Yeah, that's awful.
For a movie that's also supposed to be a cute YA, like,
I don't think
story.
It is. It just was written that way.
Yeah. And so she Darvell finds her. And then the she says that she remembers him and he remembers her. And she says, I've changed since you've seen me. And he says, so have I.
Okay.
And then Clara opens like some curtains, and the captain wakes up to the curtains being open and then sees Darvell, and he starts screaming.
Oh, shit.
And he says, I saw you die. And then he says, what do you want? And then Darvell says, I will return at nightfall. Just like you, I prefer the dark.
Oh.
And then he walks away.
Creepy.
Yeah. So Captain starts just beating Clara.
Okay.
Which is a shitty thing to do. And also I'm like, fuck you, Darvell. Maybe you should have like helped Clara out. Because it seems like you and her seem...
When does Clara become a vampire?
About to.
Okay. She hasn't done it yet.
Not yet. Now, right now she's just a sex worker.
Okay.
Just a sex worker.
Yeah. I mean, look. Most jobs are beneath vampire.
That's true.
I'm just the marketer.
Is a vampire a job or is it a way of life?
Exactly. Exactly. It's Eleanor, the highest ranking job you could get.
That's right.
Better than president.
But just like president, anyone who wants to become a vampire is also a psychopath.
Yep.
Eleanor goes to Frank's house and gives him what she's been writing. And I wrote down, so this must be the secret that she can't tell anybody. Mm. We cut back to the flashback. Captain reveals that Darvell was dying of a horrible fever. Mm. And he met with two men who understood ancient language and manuscripts and delivered upon him something meaningful, which was directions to a shrine, which is where we see like the cave or whatever. That's actually just like a strange little cabin or whatever, like a hut.
Like a rock formation.
Left on an abandoned cursed island. And so the captain and Darvell and several other like shipmen go to that deserted island. And I'm like, the captain seems like kind of an asshole. Why would he go with Darvell to this like abandoned island? But he does.
Eleanor goes with Clara to the abandoned island.
But that's different because Clara and they're mother and daughter.
Do they know that though? Like she was abandoned. I mean, I guess maybe they get together.
Also, like she's a child. Like she could force her along. Yeah. Like captain, I'd imagine the captain be like, I'm not going to go fucking to a random fucking island with this dying ass motherfucker. I'm going to stay home and like bang broads or whatever. He's a bad guy.
Yeah.
So anyway, Captain wishes that Darvell would have a heart attack, that his heart would give out while climbing on the island. The rest of the men refuse to go on the island because they say it's cursed. And then while the captain goes to fetch water, Darvell climbs into a shrine. And then this part was awesome. And then all the water on the island, because there's all these like waterfalls, they all turn into blood.
Ooh.
It was a really cool effect. I'm sure it was like CG or whatever.
Yeah.
It's very impressive. And then the captain finds Darvell inside of the shrine and is like, he's fucking dead. And so he's like, he's telling this to Clara after like beating her. And he's just like, yeah. And I stole his rings and his property and I left him to fucking die.
Damn.
Yeah. And I'm like, damn. So he's fucking crazy. When the hell is Daniel Mays going to show up?
Where's that boy?
And then we cut and we see Mr. Mays. And I wrote down, he's eating pizza. He's wearing glasses. And he offers to answer the door, but Clara ends up answering it for him instead and leaving him on the couch with his pizza. And I'm like, okay, I understand this character. He's a guy who is being, he wants to be helpful. So he's like, here's the door. He's like, I'm going to go answer the door. And then she's like, no, I'm going to go answer the door. And he's like, okay, I am subservient. I will do whatever you say to this woman who's sitting next to him. But I'm also like, there's no way that these two are like hooking up, because like, look at Maze. He's eating pizza with glasses on a chair. Like, he's got a little bit of a belly. I'm like, there's no way these two are together. So what is their relationship? Like, yeah. I don't know what's going on yet. Clara goes to answer the door, and at the door is Frank. And at this point, I don't know who that woman is at first. I'm just like, a woman is sitting next to Daniel Maze, because it's like...
Oh, yeah, you didn't know it was actually Clara. You just saw her backstory.
Right. And also, she's like slightly out of focus. And then she opens the door, and I see her, and I instantly am like, oh, shit. That's Clara from the flashbacks.
Yeah.
So now I'm like, wait a minute. How real is this fucking flashback? And then she answers the door. Frank's at the door. And Frank is like, hey, I read a copy of Eleanor's story. And she's like, well, Eleanor's not here, so go. And so he leaves. And then we cut back to Maze. I wrote down, Maze speaks with a wide open mouth. He talks with his hands and he paces. His hands on his hip. He's doing that same hand on his hip from all the way back in...
Thursday Murder Club.
Thursday Murder... Back future. That's just what he does.
Yeah.
Wrote down, he does not speak eloquently, but brutally, flat. He says that he doesn't like what Clara is doing. What happened to her? I don't know what this means. And then just then, Clara walks into the room between them. Maze is oblivious, I wrote down. He doesn't know what the fuck is going on.
Nope.
Eleanor tells Maze that she was bit by a vampire. And, of course, he's like, this is ridiculous.
Like, bit recently or just, like, way back
just
in the
says
day?
That it happened.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
And then Clara confronts Eleanor. But Eleanor ends up lying and saying that she told the boy nothing, only the lie that they tell everybody. Eleanor does end up leaving the house, speaking with Frank, and he says that story was brilliant, but he doesn't believe it. He says that it's crazy. He says that she's speaking metaphorically.
This is just like you watching the movie. You're like, this is a crazy.
Because it's nuts!
It. Yeah.
And so then she says, I am Eleanor Webb. I have told you how I live. And then she just, and then she like leaves because he doesn't believe her. Mm-hmm. And I'm also like, fuck him.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, he told her.
Believe women.
Believe women.
Yeah.
And now I believe her.
Yeah.
Eleanor enters a nursing home and sees an old woman playing the piano, puts a record on for the old woman, her nail grows. I wrote down, she's going to kill this old lady.
Yep.
And she does. Darvell is it's revealed. So there's like people going around investigating murders and deaths and
yes,
stuff.
Yes, yes.
Are they wearing masks?
You see their face, but I didn't really recognize them.
That's Darvell.
Oh. What?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because he's immortal. So
yes,
yeah.
He's also a vampire.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So Darvell's one of the guys who's investigating these deaths.
He's the one who's trying to get her.
He's the one with like the slick black,
yes,
slick back black hair. And then there's the bald guy that he follows around. He's the guy that gave Darvell the map on where to like go. So he's also a vampire.
Got it.
Okay? All right. All this is starting to be revealed.
Men vampires are trying to kill these lady vampires.
They're referred to as a brotherhood, which we later learn.
We
very
are about
sexist.
The sisterhood.
Yeah. Darvell is investigating mysterious vampire-like deaths with old guy. Frank talks to guy playing the piano, which I later learn is the teacher, Mr. Minton.
Mm-hmm.
And he just fucking gives the guy Eleanor's story.
I mean, he's not going to believe it.
And well, he doesn't, but he reads and he's just like, there's something wrong with her. Because this story's all about like fucking sex workers being beaten to death and shit.
Yeah, that's true. It's a lot.
So he gives it to some other member
of
the faculty.
She says it has to be true, so it's
right.
Not, yeah.
And so he gives it to some other member of the faculty who refers to it as Mary Shelley and Edgar Allan Poe wrote this. I'm like, okay, come on. It's very funny when a writer will compliment their own writing.
Yeah.
Teacher thinks that there's something wrong with this little girl, Eleanor. Then we cut back, flashback. Captain begs for forgiveness from Darvell, which is, it's very funny watching this because I'm like, I don't really give a shit about Eleanor anymore. I just want to figure out what's going on with Darvell and like, everybody else. So the captain begs for forgiveness from Darvell, returning his rings that he says he kept for safekeeping, which is not true. He stole them from his body. And Darvell says, forgiveness is a Christian belief, and I am no longer a Christian. I believe in ruthless old gods.
Whoa.
And then he says that he met the nameless saint who looked exactly like him, stabs him with the nail, and he awoke without a soul.
Got it.
So that's what ends up happening to Eleanor as well.
Yep.
But he says that it's a cruel existence. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I guess killing people isn't, like, the nicest thing to do. But
yeah, I guess
like,
you can only kill people. I don't see them ever really being like, yummy, yummy blood from pigs or something.
Yeah, but, like, I think Eleanor's doing the best, smartest thing here, where it's like you're just sort of killing, like...
It's still rough, though.
Or you could kill like bad people. Like, what if you killed Osama bin Laden, or like Saddam Hussein? You know, What if you were a vampire and you killed Saddam Hussein?
I can see the headlines now.
Vampire kills Saddam Hussein. Bat boy.
SEAL team suck.
Oh, okay. We can just end the podcast now. That's perfect. SEAL team suck. 0 dark 30 because it has to be dark. Yep. The vampires arrive at like Osama bin Laden's place, and they have to be invited in to kill him.
They have the best anime though. They have like unreleased anime with perfect dubs.
Yes, exactly. Like, well,
that's it. Like, all right, come on in.
So anyway, so the captain is like, I want eternal life. I want this. And Darvel's like, it comes, be prepared, it comes at a price. And then he gives him the map, the coordinates to find the mysterious island, leaves it for the captain to have. Mm-hmm. Darvel leaves. During this whole back and forth, I don't know why, Clara's also there. She's okay. Like standing in the room with them.
She's just hanging out.
Teacher arrives at modern day brothel where Eleanor lives. The Mr. Minton, the guy who assigned this thing in the first place, arrives at the brothel. And he sees Daniel Mays there.
Mm-hmm.
And he's shirtless. I wrote down, we see his belly.
Nice.
See Mr. Mays' belly. I wrote down, he's shocked by the teacher being there. I wrote down, he acts funny, almost childlike innocence. He also tries to hide a dildo. Mm-hmm. He says...
Very childlike.
Very childlike. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, dildo.
I was trying to hold that dildo.
He also says, like, am I in trouble? Am I in detention? And so I was like, how old is this fucking guy supposed to be? Because this dude, like teaches at a college. Like, how old is Mr. Mays supposed to be? I don't know. And so he says that he is, he's concerned when, Mr. Minton mentions Eleanor, and that, he says that Clara is Eleanor's big sister, not her mom. At least that's what everyone thinks. Mays is relatively subdued here still, almost like if he moves, he were to reveal something that he shouldn't be revealing. His mouth hangs open, accentuating his weak chin. I wrote,
wow, he really, really judges this guy's everything.
Look, man, an actor's aware of what they look like.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so Minton says that if he doesn't hear from Clara before the end of the day, he'll be in touch with social services and the police.
Okay.
So Clara needs to reach out to Mr. Minton about what's going on with Eleanor. Captain is, we cut back to the flashback.
Again. We love doing that.
Yeah. Captain is shot by Clara.
Okay.
And Clara steals the map.
Oh, and she goes to the island.
And she goes to the island. And this is what he's referred to as, she took it from me. It's the map on basically eternal life.
So yeah, so he never gets that.
He never gets
that.
That's
why he's mad.
That's why he was mad at that one point. That's why he is fucking murdered.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Eleanor is being interviewed by someone at the school about her story. She feels betrayed and tries to legitimize her story to the faculty.
Okay.
Clara returned to pick up Eleanor from the orphanage at 16, but Clara lied about her life before then. Eleanor says that lying is Clara's way of life and truth is hers. Eleanor says that she will prove in 40 years time that she is immortal when this person that she's referring to, this woman, is old and gray, and Eleanor is forever 16. And the woman says, well, if you can, because essentially she's like threatening her. She's like, one day you will be old and you will want to die and I will be there and then take your life.
Yeah.
And the woman says, do it now. And Eleanor says, you're not ready yet. And I got to hand it to both these actors, particularly Saoirse Ronan. Just with her eyes, it's just like, I will fucking murder you, old lady, but yep. Not yet. One not day yet. I will. It's terrifying. Then we cut to Eleanor playing the piano angrily. Like, Frank walks in and starts asking rude questions as being a vampire. And he calls her pathetic. And then he invites her to his birthday party. And she's like, fine.
Well, she can go now.
Yeah, it worked out. Eleanor finds the box containing the map to the island and brings it to Frank's birthday party. He invites her in. He has to invite her in.
Yeah.
Or else she won't enter.
That's so weird because she walked in the restaurant earlier.
Restaurant's not a home. It's not a domicile.
Yeah, it's a public place.
Yeah. He brings her into his room, offers his neck to her.
Vampires must hate mixed-use buildings. They're like, I can't go to the bar underneath, but you gotta invite me up, I guess.
Every bar, like this kind of place, is like a speakeasy. Like you have to ask somebody to let you in. But yeah, so is now in Frank's house. Frank is just immediately they go to his room by himself. I'm like, damn, where the fuck is Frank's mom?
I don't know.
Like it's
getting
crazy.
That free healthcare.
I get. Well, I'm just like crazy. It's like. these two like teenagers are going into their room alone. Like, keep an eye
it's
on.
It's different
them.
In Britain, dude.
That's true.
They don't care over there.
So he's like, "Bite me, please," and then she rests her head on his neck instead of biting him.
Aww.
We cut to Clara meeting up with Minton, the teacher, and I just wrote down, "Oh, he's gonna die."
Yeah.
Clara first starts laughing off the accusations, but then she just fully admits to everything. She's like, "Yeah, I'm a fucking vampire. Yeah, I've been around for 300 years. Yeah, my daughter's also a fucking vampire." And then she's like, "You want to tell? You want me to tell you what I did? What happened to me? What happened to Eleanor?" She says, "I shot the captain, but I didn't kill him." And she says, "Ever since then, any man standing in my way, I must kill." And then we flash back, and Darvell says that there are no women vampires. They refer to themselves as the Pointed Nails of Justice, the Brotherhood.
Okay.
Pointed Nails of Justice is fucking lame.
That's so lame.
Clara says that she will punish those who harm the weak, as well as curb the power of men. And because it's a brotherhood, they're like, "Oh, we don't like that." So the men say, "Unless she breaks the code, we cannot kill her, but she cannot join us." And Darvell doesn't say shit. Darvell does not stand up for her at all, which sucks. And so then Clara's like, "I learned that eternity is horrible alone, so I turned to Eleanor, breaking the code, because women are not allowed to create."
Wow.
But she wrote down she made an error. She was merciful. And that's the scene when she goes to the orphanage and the captain shows up and sexually assaults Eleanor. And then that's when Clara fucking murders Eleanor, killing him. And she's like, I will never be merciful again. And then she kills this teacher. Minton.
That was the moment.
That was the moment. Eleanor says that when she was born, there were only 7 planets.
How'd she kill him?
They're like dumb. Yeah. And then she just fucking sucked all the blood out of him and stuff. It's
kind of a lame way to kill people, but
I think it's pretty fucking awesome to kill somebody with a nail.
Your thumbnail?
Your thumbnail. Just fucking stabbing.
I mean, earlier she groated a guy's head off. So that was way cooler.
She didn't have anything on her. She wasn't anticipating, a fight.
Yeah,
you know, she had to use what was at her disposal. Eleanor says that when she was born, there were only 7 planets. And she says, "Frank, you're near the sun because you're warm, and I'm cold, and time moves slowly where I am. I'm further away." And she says, "There were things then that science didn't understand, and I'm sure that's the same now." And then Frank's like, "Yeah, I'm dying of cancer." So when I learn it.
Yeah, so he probably was like, "I want to be immortal."
Yeah, and then they kiss in bed. I wrote down, man, Frank's mom just does not give a shit. And then Eleanor's nail starts to grow and cuts Frank's wrist. And because it's an accident, but clearly, like, she's overwhelmed by this, like, passion or whatever. And then she runs away and he chases her. And she says that she says, "You're going to die." And he says, "I'm going to die anyway." And she says, "I'm not offering you life. You understand? You have to take life. That's what this life is." And then he's like, "I want to live with you. I want to live with you. I want to live like you." And then she drinks his blood and kisses him. And then she's like, I open your gift. And we'll run off together because she gave him the gift of eternal life, right? Yeah. Minton's body, the teacher, is discovered. Oh, we cut back to Maze at the place. Eleanor has arrived back at the brothel. And Maze says that he's been worried sick about her. He's like, he messes with some kind of piece of prop for too long in his pocket. I'm just like, what is this thing in your hand? Like, I don't even know what he's doing. Is it a key? I don't know.
It's a dildo.
Anyway, it's a dildo. He's putting it in his breast pocket while following her. He says that Clara isn't happy. And then he sent all the girls home. And then Clara confronts Eleanor. And she's upset because she told someone it's breaking the rules, even though Clara also broke rules. And she's upset because she made it sound like she was a neglectful mother, which is even more hurtful.
Damn.
Which is honestly, again, a great like character choice. It's like, I'm not just upset because you've broken the rule about like the vampire thing. As a mom, you writing me as this neglectful mother who didn't care is like really fucked up.
Really hurtful.
Because that's not
true. I've done.
Yeah.
But she also is kind of like just living bit by bit, not caring about her daughter's life. So in a way,
I don't know. I think she's doing the best she can.
I get it. But also it's like it's hard to really like follow these tropes when it's like this works if you're a character and you're like your daughter's like growing up. But like she's been around for 200 years. Like
that's fair.
It's kind of weird. The disconnect is a little weird for me, but whatever.
Clara says that she's always tried to keep her safe. Eleanor pushes her mom in the bed and calls her a stupid fucking cunt.
Wow.
And says that she hates her. And then she leaves. And Maze is like shocked by all this. Also, he doesn't seem confused at all about the whole argument about them being around for 200 years or whatever. And Clara's like, "Get my daughter back here." But Maze stands like in front of Clara and is like, he doesn't understand what's going on, but he's like, "You're making things worse, Clara. Like you yelling at your daughter right now is making things a whole lot worse. You need to chill the fuck out." Yeah. And then Eleanor's running towards the elevator. Clara's running towards the elevator. Maze is in front of Clara, stopping her from running to the elevator. Eleanor gets in the elevator, is nearly all the way down, and then Clara unthinkingly pushes Daniel Maze into the elevator shaft.
Oh, no.
He falls all the way down. He dies.
No!
So not only is this the last movie we're watching with Daniel Maze, he dies in this movie.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go.
And he bleeds out, and he bleeds all over Eleanor, who's in the elevator. And Clara's like, I'm going to take care of Frank, because I know you've told him. I'm going to go take care of him. So Clara runs to kill Frank. Eleanor's trapped in the elevator, helpless. Suddenly, Daniel Maze's phone goes off. It's vibrating. And so Eleanor needs to retrieve it, but it's like difficult because it's like above her.
Yeah, yeah.
Clara arrives at Frank's house. She's on the second floor because she's a vampire that can fly. I don't know. I've never seen a vampire turn into a bat. But
no, but they could climb up stuff.
I guess they're strong. Really good at climbing. Asks if she can come in. He says no. And she's like, well, then you have to come out here. So he does it. And I'm like, what the fuck, Frank? You idiot. So he goes out and she just immediately starts choking him. And he's like, you can kill me, but I have the advantage because no matter what, Eleanor will leave you.
Oh, damn. That's pretty good.
And then Frank gets a phone call and on the phone is Eleanor warning Frank like, hey, my mom's coming. Watch out. But it's obviously too late. And then Darvell arrives.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And the bald guy. They arrive and find Eleanor in the elevator and they take the phone that Eleanor has and they tell Clara that they have Eleanor now and they're gonna take care of her.
Ooh.
And it's in this moment where I'm like, oh shit, like I feel bad for Clara, and she starts screaming like she's horrified. She's like, my daughter. And then she runs away and she lands on her feet and she fucking books it back to the brothel. She's nervous about her fucking daughter. So then Eleanor is in handcuffs, recognizes Darvell somehow, I don't know how, and then Clara
Oh, yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah.
Yeah.
They never really
She's just like, knows who it is. Yeah. And then Clara jumps in front of the car that's being driven by the bald guy, jumps onto the car. Bald guy is driving, tries to run her over, but then she disappears. So he goes looking for her, leaving Eleanor and Darvell alone. And then Darvell's like, hey, I've been following you and I've been super impressed by you because you're murdering and killing, like, dying people. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not a bad vampire. You're doing the best that you can under the circumstances, basically. And then Clara's like, I know that you gave my mom eternal life. And then Darvell's like, she took it. I didn't give it to her.
Oh, shit.
So it's like, basically, Clara's trying to go like, I know that you're a good human being and you'll save us and help us. Uh-huh. And Darvell's like, I'm not.
I'm
trying to like resist that urge, basically. Okay. Because he's with the Brotherhood.
Yeah.
And then Clara ends up choking out the bald guy that's like looking for her. But then Darvell jumps out of the car and saves the bald guy. And they tie Clara up. And Darvell retrieves a giant fuck-off sword. A sword that's by Byzantium.
Oh, okay.
From that. It's a souvenir of the Crusades. And the bald guy holds the sword and then gives it to Darvell. And he says, you know what to do. Your first kill.
Got a decapitator.
So Darvell raises the sword and Clara's like, please leave me alone. Leave my daughter alone. Do whatever you want to me, but don't kill my daughter.
Uh-huh.
And then Darvell fucking
cuts her head off.
Cuts the bald guy's head off.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Bald guy dead. Clara fine.
Wow.
Yeah. And then Darvell burns the remains and says that the Brotherhood will come. But, you know, he's like, I want to be good. I want to be a good guy. And Clara,
I'm working from the inside.
Your heart's in the right place, honestly. Like, you know, you try to kill those who do take down the weak. What are we doing? We're like the police keeping other vampires in line.
Yeah.
You know? We're not making the world better. Clara says that she's going to cut Eleanor loose. She's like, I grant you freedom, Eleanor. You can go wherever you want. I'm not going to follow you.
Okay.
And then she gives Eleanor cash and she hugs her. And then she says, remember, Eleanor, always look forward, not back. And she tries not to make a big thing about it, but the minute that Eleanor is like kind of out of earshot, she starts immediately crying and sobbing.
Yeah.
And again, I'm like, damn, this fucking actor's so good.
She's very good.
She's so good. Darvell asks to join forces with Clara, and Clara says, if you could have anything, what would it be? And then Darvell's like, your pardon? And she says, maybe with time. And then he says, how about your company? And then Eleanor.
Saved a girl who?
Yeah. And then Eleanor and Frank visit the island together, and he has turned, and the waters run red. That's the end of the movie.
Oh, my God.
It's pretty great.
Love. That's actually just not a bad ending.
Honestly, not that bad.
Yeah.
It's a very strange film. I don't think it's a great film.
That's what's weird is where I'm explaining it. I'm like, oh, it's pretty good, but then I remember watching it. I'm just like, it's just so it's just not fun.
I think
to
it's
watch.
A little overly long. Like I said, my half of the movie was tight as fuck. Everything I needed was in my half of the movie.
Yeah, you had all the actual stuff going on. Mine was just like, mine was like very alluding to things and very mysterious.
Are they
like,
vampires? Aren't they vampires?
Yeah, it was a little like, and it was mostly narrated from Eleanor, who's not a great writer. Yeah. So it was just kind of annoying. But yeah, I think it's just the writing is just
Claire
not
was
the best.
More interesting character, in my opinion.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
I liked
their relationship was interesting. I get that you want to make the daughter character more like a teen, blah, blah, blah.
And also, like, she's, like, innocent. Like, she doesn't know any better or
so,
whatever.
Like, they wrote that in, but doesn't... It's not interesting.
No, I agree. I'm watching this movie, too. I'm like, is this, like, a girls' rock movie? And it is, but it's kind of hard to watch Clara, like...
But they both end up with guys and then, separate. So it's
and
like,
also, eh. That's true. And also, like, it sucks to watch Clara just being abused for, like, half of the runtime.
Yeah.
Like, so horribly. And then in the end, it's like, she's just a good mom. And I'm like, I'm happy she's a good mom. And... Obviously, bad guys in movies being bad is not, like, you know, a crime.
Yeah.
But I'm also just, like, it's kind of hard to watch her just being, like systematically, like, beaten. And, like, the movie opens with, like, a guy, like, sexually assaulting essentially his daughter. Yeah. It's a rough film. It's a rough film. But, you know, overall.
It's all right.
Not that bad.
It's all right. Yeah.
Not that bad. Yeah. And Daniel Mays, what do we think about Mr. Mays?
I think Mr. Mays did a great job in this movie. I think he is forever going to be cast as kind of an incompetent, schlubby guy. Like,
yeah.
I think that's every single
That's what we've learned from
or
this
Or has
month.
No backbone.
Yes.
No backbone,
no backbone
at
backbone.
All.
Yeah.
All gut.
Yeah.
No backbone.
All gut, no backbone.
All butt, which is weird because you'd think he'd have lots of guts, but, you know.
Yeah, yeah. But no, that's true.
That's what he seems to be.
He's guy with purpose. You know, he serves a purpose in the story.
He serves a plot purpose, but you need someone without a backbone to kind of be there.
Yeah, to like be bossed around.
Bossed around, pushed, move the plot along, something. Yeah. Literally pushed.
Literally pushed into an elevator shaft. It was watching this movie, too, is funny because it's like there's an old person home. So you've got Thursday Murder Club.
Yeah.
There's weird, like, timey-wimey shit. So that's like a Mr. Nobody.
Mm-hmm.
And then, oh no, what was the other movie we saw with him?
Nanny McPhee.
There's magic.
There's magic.
It's weird. There's like certain little things that seem to be cropping up in these Daniel Mays movies. I don't know if he's like
I don't know if it's
drawn to these projects.
I think it's more he want that work. Mm. He want that money. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yep, I'll be the schlubby guy in every single one of these. Or the curious journalist. I think that's the only one where maybe he doesn't have a backbone, but except he's very new.
Yeah.
So he doesn't feel like he's asking questions, not hard questions. He doesn't seem very confident.
Yeah.
Lack of confidence, which is, I guess,
lack of confidence is, I think, the best. Because, like, even in Thursday Murder Club, he had a moment of a backbone where he had to, like, interview a guy, the one guy.
Yeah, he had to also tell off all the old people, but that felt like he was, like,
it was out of a lack of confidence.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he's a pretty good actor.
He
does a good job. Honestly, if it wasn't for something like this, I probably would not have realized he was in all of these movies.
Me too. Would have never noticed this guy.
Yeah. And he's also very good at getting laughs. I think he's a pretty funny guy.
Yeah, except for this movie, which is very laughless.
Yeah, but he's kind of a goof because he's eating pizza, you know, he's hiding.
He's sensible. I guess he's sensible chuckle.
Sensible chuckle. Yeah, he's a British chuckle.
British,
yeah, exactly.
Chuckle for sure.
But yeah, what was your favorite Daniel Mays performance?
Honestly, I like this one, man.
He's pretty good in this.
This is probably my favorite where he had the most depth. I would say second to that is the Thursday Murder Club.
I really liked him in Nanny McPhee because I liked him.
I never saw him.
So yeah, you didn't see him. I liked him being subservient to two children. I think that was a lot of fun, and it's an interesting like actor's dilemma where it's like, how do you act terrified of two bratty little kids?
Two bratty little kids.
Yeah. What was your worst?
I mean, Nanny McPhee, I didn't see him.
Oh, yeah, that's fair.
But honestly, it was probably Mr. Nobody.
I agree with you.
The rest of that movie was
he's
bad.
He's barely in it.
He just kind
of
asks questions.
I feel like they gave him nothing to work with. No, it really just feels like you are a character.
You didn't have a name. So.
He's a reporter. Young reporter.
Young reporter.
Yeah, yeah. I agree with that. Is there anything else you want to talk about with Daniel Mays?
No, I think I'm good with this guy.
I wish we could have got him on the podcast.
I know. Well, maybe we should have reached out, but...
I don't know
if we're going to get it with all the things we've said about
there's
him.
There's nothing... He knows he's got a weak jaw and a big belly. That's how he knows he gets cast.
I guess you're right.
He's not going to get cast as, like, you know, the Hulk.
No, he's not. No. No, that's fair. All right, well, maybe we'll reach out.
Maybe. I mean, he's playing Dobby because he's a voice.
Yeah. Also a character without a backbone.
Oh my God, I hated Dobby. Yeah. Even back before I knew that J.K. Rowling was a turf, I didn't like Dobby.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Did you like Dobby?
No. Who likes Dobby?
Harry Potter liked Dobby. He buried him properly.
He's the only one who would.
The only one. Guys, what are your thoughts on Dobby? Email us, emailtheotheratpodcast.com. Find us on Facebook, Instagram. We're also on Discord, and we have a Blue Sky. And if you want to listen to our previous Daniel Mays episodes, you can find them on any podcatching app. And while you're there, please leave a 5-star rating and review. We will read on the show no matter what it says, but especially if it's from you, Mr. Mays. I hope you appreciate
it. Please listen. Please send us in all the thoughts of all these performances. We got a little
I would love to
one.
Hear your thoughts on what it was like to work on some of these movies, particularly Mr. Nobody. Like, what was the directing like? Like, were you given any kind of direction?
How did you work against this guy with 1 million pounds of makeup on?
Doing a weird Joker laugh.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Sure, but yeah, that's our Maze month. Guys, did you like this month? Let us know. I would love to do more of these where we like find like character actors and we just like look at, you know, their top 4 or 5 like most popular films.
It was a fun exercise. I do wish some movies were okay.
Yeah. Okay. None of these movies were like outright terrible.
Mr. Nobody was
pretty bad. I constantly forget about Mr. Nobody, and you're right. Mr. Nobody horrible. Is pretty terrible. Well, good night, everybody. 'd you guys like to discuss the movies that we talked about on the podcast, recommend movies for future episodes, or maybe even watch movies with us? Check out the Discord.
You can find the Discord on the latest episodes or on the website, theotherhalfpodcast.com. We're just hanging out chatting.
And while you're there, maybe also check out the second of the Discord, which is specifically for Ethan's streams on Twitch. You get updates as to when he goes live. Just keep up to date with us, with Ethan, the podcast, and the stream.
It's also totally okay if you just want to hang out and talk about the podcast. You could hang out there and maybe we'll see you there and watch a movie or something.
Or maybe you're like, wow, these streams are so much better and you just totally ignore the podcast. That's also another option.
That could happen.
Why not?
The Discord is your oyster. Come join us.
The Discord is your oyster. Join it.